My wife Joanna and I recently saw the movie Fireproof. This movie begins with introducing a vital lesson for firefighters. Never leave your partner in a fire. Each firefighter was to be teamed up with another while fighting fires. And these men put their trust in each other for their safety and their lives. The principles of that relationship are universal: communication, reciprocity, and self-sacrifice. As the movie progressed, we quickly saw that these principles, which are vital for firefighters, were ignored in the marriage relationship of the main characters. The husband and wife were depicted operating with their primary focus on themselves and what they assumed should be the standard for a successful relationship. You're not meeting my needs or respecting me. The movie ended after portraying the difficult repentance of both people as they learned that the principles of communication, reciprocity, and self-sacrifice apply to their most important relationships with God and each other. The principles of an effective relationship with God center largely on identifying and understanding that the priorities that are important to that relationship. We read from the book of Amos that two cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. We understand further from Hebrews that God will never leave us or forsake us. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous with you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." Being betrothed to Christ, walking with God, who will never leave us, it behooves us to consider the principles of communication, reciprocity, and self-sacrifice as principles of an effective relationship. Let's briefly examine these three essential principles for any effective relationship, primarily in the context of our relationship with God. The first important principle of an effective relationship is the principle of communication. Communication is a necessary interaction that makes and builds a relationship. There is proper communication and there is improper communication. Proper communication will build up, while improper communication will destroy. Proper communication involves a balance of speaking, listening, and consideration. Where our relationship with God is concerned, communication with Him is through prayer, study, and meditation. Without proper communication, any relationship will fizzle and die, including our relationship with God. Furthermore, a lack of proper communication or an imbalance opens the door for another source to step in and communicate. Improper communication tends to promote a defensive self-focus that seeks only unmet needs or desires. A lack of appreciation or respect becomes apparent as misplaced priorities take precedence. Improper communication will promote blaming the other or others and making excuses as it blinds a person from realizing their personal responsibility or accountability to the relationship. Oftentimes, the focus tends to be on what is not being done in a person's selfish perspective. Personal honesty with oneself and humility then is essential for proper communication. Proper communication in an effective relationship will promote a serving attitude. It is living the way of give and honestly looking out for the interests of the other. Proper communication involves being thankful and reverent and getting priorities straight, such as seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Proper communication involves praising or encouraging the other, realizing our own responsibility to the relationship. For truly proper communication to take place between God and us, it is essential that we consider God's purpose in our relationship with Him. In our communication with God, do we unwittingly allow the mindset that either blames Him or limits Him? Do we truly consider God's purpose and what He is working out in our lives and in the lives of others? Did God really redeem us to kill us in a spiritual wilderness? Or is He preparing us for something awesome beyond our full comprehension? As the carnally minded Israelites who left Egypt all perished in the wilderness, even so our carnal, self-centered nature must die. Instead, we are to put on the new man according to Jesus Christ, who said, "My Father and I are one." Please turn with me to John 10. John 10, I'll begin reading verse 27. John 10, beginning verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. God is not a failure, and He is preparing us to rule with Him as kings and priests, at one with Him. As we mature, our communication with God must not be self-centered. Without our proper communication in response to God, there is a danger for the relationship to slip. No one can snatch us away from the Father and Jesus Christ, but relationships can slip through improper communication. Over time, the door is open for another source to influence a different relationship. Oftentimes, this influence creeps in through the impression of touching needs seemingly unmet because the proper communication has lapsed. In a physical marriage, we see this as a grave potential for adultery. With God, it can be faithlessness or idolatry. Please turn with me now to James 4. James chapter 4, and I'd like to begin with verse 1. James 4, and beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James highlights the desires for pleasure that war in our members as a source for broken relationships. These types of desires promote improper communication with God and also open the door for worldly influence. This worldly influence for someone who is betrothed to Christ is also known as covetousness and idolatry. Proper communication with God involves us taking our needs and desires to Him and then yielding to His decision. Sometimes the decision seems to be to allow us to wait as He helps us build the character and maturity that we need to properly handle the responsibility that comes with whatever we are asking for. Sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is yes, even an immediate yes, and even a yes that is more than we had even thought of or hoped for. But whatever the answer, the important thing is that we receive that answer from God and not another source. Receiving answers from God requires that we humble ourselves and seek Him daily through proper communication. To be effective, communication must be reciprocal. Here is where the principle of reciprocity comes in. We must draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. The principle of reciprocity involves our response to God's calling by drawing near to Him. As a result, we may see conflict in other relationships. However, the principle of reciprocity also means that as we treat God, we will see this treatment surface back towards us in other areas of our lives. If something seems to be amiss in our relationships, there may also be a good possibility that our communication with God is lacking. We simply won't have that peace if we don't take the time to communicate properly with God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That reward often comes from the fruit of doing what is right and good. And doing good is our basic responsibility. God can and will bless our relationships with Himself and others if we diligently seek Him. Our relationship with God requires faith to work. We made a covenant with Him to yield our lives to Him and to put our complete trust in Him. This covenant is not a contract that can be renegotiated. God is never indebted to us. All relationships require study to see what makes them work, and our relationship with God is no different. We must study His Word to understand how to communicate with Him and how we must respond. Our relationship is with the most dynamic personality. What we put into our response to God will affect the quality of our relationship with Him. We are commanded to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, all our strength, all our being. Let's continue reading in James 4. This time, let's pick it up in verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. While there is a principle of reciprocity, we love God because he first loved us, we cannot respond to God on our own. We don't have the proper tools of and by ourselves to yield to God and to allow him to work in us. God gives us that ability to respond to him as he reveals himself to us, drawing us near to him. Our work is then to draw near to God in response, believing and making efforts to overcome our carnal nature as we yield to God working in us. This effort to overcome works of the flesh, by cleansing our hands and becoming single-minded, involves sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not a strange concept to a healthy relationship. We are taught that the essence of love is sacrifice, and we see this exemplified by Jesus Christ. He willingly sacrificed himself that we might be reconciled through a relationship with God. We are likewise admonished to lay down our lives for one another. The principle of self-sacrifice, where our relationship with God is concerned, involves removing metaphorical parasites that suck the life from that relationship. Generally speaking, this means sacrificing fleshly and evil desires that are most often born out of a self-focus and self-will. As we read earlier in James, desires for self-pleasure can produce fighting and turmoil, as well as faithlessness to our relationship with God. Let's pick up a little further instruction from the book of James, this time in chapter 1. Just a couple of verses, verses 13 and 14. James 1, verses 13 and 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Desires for our own pleasure produce enmity with God as they tempt and entice our focus away from him. When we are distanced from God, we no longer walk in love. We actually walk in lust. Now, a distinction needs to be realized between love and lust. Love will build up in humility, whereas lust will promote pride and self-interest. We understand from 1 John 2 that the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world is that system apart from God that is corrupted by lust. It is from this system that we have been redeemed to partake of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 tells us that through the great and precious promises given to us, we may be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is important that we realize the difference between love and lust as clean and unclean, holy and unholy, life and death. It is the carnal man that is contrary to God. But in putting on the new man, we must sacrifice our carnal nature that screams for self-gratification. Self-gratification must be laid aside with a vision of a greater purpose and the help supplied by the power of God to overcome. We need this help continuously to have the proper attitude of humility and service so that trust is produced. This trust is a mutual trust that true priorities to the relationship between us and God will be met. As we face our various fires, it behooves us to remember that we are not alone. We are learning to walk with God in an intimate relationship for which he promises his faithfulness. The principles of an effective relationship with God center largely on identifying and understanding the priorities that are important to that relationship. As with any relationship, the right effort and humility must be extended to achieve proper communication regarding those priorities. As we respond to our relationship with God, drawing near to him, he will draw near to us, and we may see our treatment of him reciprocated in other areas of our lives. In order to develop our relationship with God, we must sacrifice our carnal nature and its selfish desires so that we are able to walk with God in love, being partakers instead of his divine nature. We are to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man according to Jesus Christ. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us, and we too must never leave our relationship with him to neglect. Wonderful things can be accomplished when two become one, driven by a common vision and purpose.